Welcome to Tracks Cultures. I'm Mike Piccinato, your host. This podcast unravels the intricacies of transitions across cultures. For those feeling the pull of change or supporting loved ones through it, this podcast is for you. We understand the uncertainty and excitement that come with such transitions, and together we'll explore how to adapt while maintaining community and belonging. Throughout our episodes, we'll draw on insights from the Cross-Cultural Transition Handbook by Dr. Stephen W. Jones. Whether you're moving to a new place or supporting someone who is, this podcast offers encouragement and connection. Enjoy the conversations as we navigate the challenges and joys of cross-cultural transitions together. Well, hey, Joel and Kate, welcome back to Tracks Cultures. It's always fun to see you.
Thanks. We're happy to be here.
Good to be again. Back.
We are kind of in the middle of crazy schedules for all of us, and the next recording working through Stephen's book, The Cross-Cultural Transitions Handbook, we hope to have him with us again. And so what we want to do at this time is kind of just catch up with where you guys are and what you've been up to. And since we recorded last, we saw you guys in Columbus for council.
Yes. Oh, yeah. That was the best time.
Yeah, that was great.
For those who don't come from an alliance background and may have no idea what council is, it's this once every 2 year gathering of pastors and workers and delegates from the alliance. But it's also this opportunity that the alliance has to kind of see in person the workers that they're sending out. And so you guys heard at council, hey, as of now, you are international workers with the Christian and Missionary Alliance. You got to march in a parade and walk across a stage. What was that like for you?
As someone who's not coming from an alliance background, that was really, it was surreal. It was beautiful. The especially when they said, you are now international workers with the Christian and Missionary Alliance, that felt really cool. That just like, I don't know, I felt so proud to be a part of it. And yeah, marching in the parade, when I kept hearing, it's a parade, you're going to love it. And it just seemed really silly until I was there. And like marching in the parade, it was so fun and people were cheering like they really cared. And I truly believed that they cared. And that whole night was really just so beautiful. And it felt like the body of Christ.
Yeah, I think the parade kind of was the peak of it. Right. It was this having, and I'm sorry, I dropped off. I missed what Kate said, but like having people clap for you and where you could tell they meant it was really intensely special in a way where I don't know if I'd had that experience before. It really felt like people were like those people who had been sent by their church were sending us. So enthusiastically. Yeah, I don't know. That I've never experienced that before. That was really special. I'm not going to forget that.
You guys, for those who are in the audience and have never met you, you maybe don't look like most people that are getting sent out as international workers. And so you had several people that came and approached you afterwards. I think even just because you've got maybe more tattoos than the average missionary and what was that like to have people kind of approach you and say, hey, you're cool missionaries, or you look really cool, or I'd really like to get to know you better.
It happens at church too. It's not, I don't stick out as much at our church. But I'm always a little bit prepared for that sort of a reaction in that community. But boy, it was surprising how much I stood out in that group. And it was, I don't normally like a whole lot of attention, but it was just so sweet that they were saying things like, you know, you need to come to my church and speak. Folks aren't going to believe that you're a missionary. That sort of stuff was hilarious. And just like really, 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 it's fun. I don't know if it's fun to sort of come in a surprising package. Maybe
I had the rare honor. I got to baptize a girl that goes to our small group. And she said she was always curious about church. And then she came to ours in our little group, and she said she didn't know Christians could look like me and Joel. And she just finally felt like really peaceful that she wasn't the weird one out. And it was just like, it was sweet. And just the way, I think the way that especially Joel looks, because his tattoos are so, so apparent because they're on his arms and neck. And people tend to gravitate towards him. And like our usually servers at restaurants are more kind, and they treat us like we're one of them when Joel's with me. And it's just like, he attracts the people that feel second place a lot. And so it's just cool. And I think, we did stand out at council. I wasn't expecting to myself, and it just, sometimes I did.
Also a chance for you guys to start building some of those partnerships outside of your sending church family. And I thought that was really cool to have people say you need to come speak at our church, or for you to start meeting pastors from other congregations as well, and start to get the opportunity before you go in September to go and be present with some other churches. And I'm really excited for that for you.
That was super important because we don't come from an Alliance church. We don't have the easy access that we were in an Alliance church, you have access to the district and the all the everyone that comes with it. And not saying we don't. Our district has been very kind, but there is a little extra that we need help on just with meeting people because we're not in it. And so that was so great meeting pastors from other churches from around the country. And I feel like we made lifelong friends in that one weekend just through all of this. And like, we're going to go hang out in Cheyenne and Milwaukee. And it's great. I'm excited.
Yeah, it's going to be very cool.
You also had this opportunity to have this really cool lunch with all of the other workers who were getting sent out. And it was neat to be at the table with you guys and have the opportunity to hear Kent Sovine kind of really speak to you guys very personally about some of your maybe nervousnesses. I think I just made up a word, but about some of the nervousness that you had not coming from an Alliance church. Was that reassuring for you?
Yeah,
absolutely. He's been on our side from the beginning, but there is still that, there's still the slight, just little extra. We have to make a little bit more effort to get to know people and going out and meet just people in the denomination. We just have to make a little harder effort on that, which is proving to be very humbling in a good way. Like people want to meet us and they want to support us. And it's been really sweet. It's been a sweet, informative experience.
So why don't you give us an update on fundraising?
Yeah. I've been working on that one. We have hit our monthly giving goal, the low end. So we're still working on that. But we need our one-time gifts still. And so our next couple of weeks are going to be hitting all the small groups in our church and just saying, here's what we need and here's when we need it by. And so we've got those little gifts coming in. And then Joel, I'll let you share the big news. It's really fun.
Yeah. Speaking of one of the partnerships that we made, one of the introductions that Mike made while we were in Ohio was with a couple that's running a church in Cheyenne, Wyoming. And Zach, the pastor there, reached out recently and said that they were talking about a mural on the face of their building. And that's largely what I've been involving myself in work-wise for the last couple of years. And so it was going to be a very cool opportunity. And they're going to become it all works out, which it sounds like it will, it's going to be a long-term relationship that we're going to get to start with this church in Cheyenne. It is that, like you were saying earlier, Kate, it's a different way of making a network, but we're going to make our own, and it's exciting to see it starting to form in its own way. And so we're going to have a relationship with the church in Cheyenne and maybe in Milwaukee and maybe, you know, who knows where, but so to be able to start that relationship with a painting is really cool too. If this all goes through and happens and if they like the work I do, then they're going to be able to say like that couple we support, they did that painting on the building. And that's to be able to tie it back to something that you see every day or that you've pondered, you know, as a member of the church or a member of the community, that's cool. So it's one, it's exciting to have another church to begin to start working with, but also like, to start it and to do it in this way is like, oh man, icing on the cake.
Yeah, that Zach and Haley are great. They were pastoring the church that Alyssa and I had been pastoring, the church that had sent us before they went to Cheyenne. And just the opportunity to connect that church that said, hey, maybe we're wanting to get more engaged with international workers, to have the opportunity to connect them with you guys who are just going, is so amazing. It's such a cool thing that they can kind of follow your journey. And the church in Milwaukee is huge supporters. They're huge supporters of Envision Berlin. And so that whole Crossway Church network is just amazing. So I'm glad that they'll get to see your guys' faces as well. Before you guys go.
Yeah, we're really excited. They've been so great.
Yeah, they're astonishing. And so if there's anybody listening who's like, well, hey, our church would love to get more engaged. I know this couple who's getting ready to go for the first time. And if you'd like to connect with them.
It's us.
Hello.
Joel and Kate in Berlin.com.
Your new friends, Joel and Kate.
You can find us at joelandkateinberlin@gmail.com.
All right. So that's all the contact information you need.
Yeah. Super easy. Kind of long.
Instagram.
But super easy. Instagram. Yeah. The World Wide Web.
One of the things that was really fun for Alyssa and I is that like a week after council, we got the chance to go to a church in Vermilion, South Dakota, which is not terribly far away from you in Omaha. And we got the chance to get together and go hiking for a day, and opportunity to meet Joel's parents. And that was just fun to be able to see you guys again.
Yeah, I wasn't sure how much we would see each other this year. And it was good to see you at Joel's parents' house. I think you gave them a lot of peace as well, that we weren't going with a bunch of, I don't know, religious nuts.
Joel, I think your mom and dad were, and maybe your mom especially, was a little nervous about you guys going to Berlin. And I think your hope was that if they got a chance to meet us, that might alleviate some of the nervousness. I'm not sure that Alyssa and I always have that impact on people, but was it good for your parents to have us there? Was that a good experience?
Yeah, I think so. You know, we're not parents, and so we don't necessarily know this feeling. But at the same time, I know like when my niece and her fiance, who we're very close with, that when they come to me and they tell me something that's happening in their life, there's always this, there's a bit of a skepticism in the back of my head, or just general doubt, you know, where it's like, oh, I don't know if you understand what you're getting yourself into. And so I would assume that there was something similar with that in the back of my parents' head at first too. The hope was, is that to, you know, my mom was putting especially a really good face on it and using your guys' names, you know, in conversation before you had even met you, and just talking about you in like a positive light, which was interesting. I think that was her, you know, fighting against that sort of temptation to think, you know, that this might be a mistake. And then getting to host you guys at the house and to actually meet you and to, you know, and I'll try to understand you a little bit better and see that you're real and that you're, you know, you seem very genuine and caring and all those things. I think it was helpful for them. I don't know if it's going to make it easier by any means, but it was helpful for sure. And my dad, you know, another interesting thing is my dad's been able to talk about Germany a little bit more now, which is cool. That wasn't something that we discussed a whole lot. And so,
oh, that's great. I didn't know that.
He's asking more questions about it, which is cool. He and I are similar. If something's kind of bothering us, it's also kind of difficult to talk about in conversation. And so, you know, for him to be bringing it up repeatedly I think that's good.
That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Just to see that you guys aren't like scam artists or something, right?
You guys have, we're flying on the 1st of September. So that means we have all of July and all of August. And you guys are coming 2 weeks later. So that really only leaves 2.5 months before you guys are going to fly to Berlin. What are some of the things that you are really looking forward to doing the next 2.5 months?
I'm looking forward to feeling the peace that we have the plane ticket and we're going. I'm looking forward to that. But what I know what you mean. I'm looking forward to a little family reunion we're doing at Joel's parents' house. And Joel and I are going to a concert that same weekend, but we're going to make it all work. I've been having really good and sweet goodbyes with friends and family. And so I've got a few more of those coming up, but I am looking forward to when I feel like this is really happening. Like, people keep saying it's 2.5 months away, but I've never done this before. And so I can't picture it yet. And I don't have an apartment. And so, we don't have an apartment. So nothing quite feels ready. Doesn't feel real yet, but I'm excited for when it does.
I think I'm looking forward to winding up my work, like my day job work. I finished another mural on Friday at the jail and just this, I felt this lightness, the relief of not having that on my plate. And so knowing like at the end of July, like that work will be done and I can, you know, largely stop thinking about it. I really am looking forward to it. I'll miss my friends that I've made, the inmates down at the jail, and getting to meet new ones, you know, throughout the week. But the ability to maybe have more time to focus on the rest of all this is going to be really cool. And also, I've been keeping mental notes of all the little things that need to get done around the house to get it ready for our renter that we have coming in. And so I'm excited for a lot of August also to just spend doing little projects around the house that I've been waiting to do. So, and then watch the house slowly get emptier and emptier it sounds exciting.
Are there any things that feel a little overwhelming with 2.5 months to go?
Finishing up getting the house ready feels super overwhelming. I need to rent a dumpster for like our couches and beds, but it's like, how soon do I do that? And so like logistically that feels really daunting. And officially packing up the house, officially getting like, we have a lot of stuff, just like knickknacks that aren't going to come with us that will go to friends. Yeah. So finishing up the house feels daunting. I think that's it. I think about it a lot. I lay in bed and think about, oh, this needs to get done. Oh, I should keep a notepad by my bed because I lay down and I think of everything that I need to do for the next day.
Isn't that crazy?
It's awful.
So when you're conscious and not, you know, not laying down and things come to mind, how do you normally write them down on a list?
Oh, I write them down. I write them down preferably, or if I don't have pen and paper, I will put that in my phone as a reminder, like this has to get done. And then it just stares at me. The problem with when I have like all these tiny little tasks that have like built up, then it gets super overwhelming and I don't know where to start. And so it's really been checklists. I put together my checklist so I can just check it off and one by one and it's fine.
When you do something, do you then write it down just so you can check it off?
Yes, absolutely. Because then it looks like a bigger list.
Well, and that the accomplishment of scratching it out is always so nice. Like it's this visual, right?
For sure.
You get a little treat.
One really nice thing, we have the benefit of a friend renting our house. And so we asked her, I was like, do you want me to leave the bookcases and this and that and the bed frames? And so we don't have to get rid of everything because Rachel is needing new stuff. Her son counted, they have 787 books in their house. And so she's like, I need all the bookcases you have. So yeah, that's the ease of it all, which has been really nice.
Right. For you, Joel, anything that's feeling overwhelming?
The fundraising does just because I'm a little more removed from it. You know, Kate's spearheading so much of that work, and I'm just kind of tagging along and talking when I need to for the most part. And so to not see that progress so incrementally is it's like anxiety inducing. There's worry about, again, I think there's a lot of like performance stuff left over from corporate America that it's like worry of like not proving, you know, that we're capable of doing something or I don't know. That's still very present for sure.
Yeah. We have started doing this prayer. We've been listening to this app that just is a daily prayer, and it's just so focused on peace. And I've been feeling just the peace of the Holy Spirit with it. That's like, why would God bring us this far just for us to not cross that finish line is really how I feel about it. And I just like, I'm so used to just relying on myself for good reasons. Like I like to do it myself. I like to have control over my life the way I like it. And I can't have control over this, and I have zero control over it. And so I am being taught how to be open-handed, which I've never really had to do before. And that has been, I would say, okay, it's terrible, obviously, because it's hard. It's hard, but it's actually been really beautiful. And I just feel like super, super peaceful that he will provide, and it will be provided on time, because July 15th is coming up quickly for us, and that's our drop dead date for what we want. And so, yeah, I truly believe that it's going to be taken care of, and I can't do anything about it. And so that, I've got that peace that like, I want to freak out, but it's just like, I can't, and there's no point in it. And so that's where I'm sitting with it. And Joel hasn't gotten there yet, but he will. He just hasn't been able to focus on it like I have.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%.
Hasn't been able to focus on the fundraising or on finding peace?
Both.
Yeah. Yes.
All of it? Yeah. It's because his job is so emotionally and physically taxing, it's hard to come home and focus on numbers and details when he's managing everyone's emotions in this very terrible place, and also standing on a ladder in weird positions trying to paint murals that, because nobody else is allowed to be on a ladder. By the time Joel gets home, he's exhausted emotionally and physically. Yeah. And so it's like, yeah, it's like I have to do this until he has stopped working. And I have a track record with God of trying to take control and like just running our lives into the ditch. And so he's been really very gentle and generous with us of like, no, Kate's not in control, so.
One of the things that this can be really helpful for is people that listen to it later. And our hope, one of our hopes for this podcast is that both with the season with the Jones and then also the season with you, is that people who are preparing to go can have a resource that they can go back to and listen to and say, all right, this is really helpful hearing how other people are processing things in the same position that I'm in. So this episode 9 update, what are some things for people that might listen to this later and say, okay, I'm getting ready to go and I'm 2 months out or 2.5 months out. What are some things that you would want to say to them?
I would say keep going. Yes. Yeah. Patience and keep going. Call your people, text your people, just have like, by this point, you probably have a blog or a newsletter. It's just like, send something out saying it, just like honesty with the people that are supporting you. It has been so good. And like, it's been good for them. And it's been good for us to say like, hey, I'm struggling. I need help. And then having a community just covering you in prayer. That's the only way any of us can get through it, because this is so hard. And if you've never done it before, like us, it's like, you feel like you're just barely above water at all times.
What about you, Joel?
Yeah, patience is important. I think we, especially like with each other too, where we're finding that like we're both in this spot of like we're just tired and it's like been in that tension spot, you know, for such a long time. And what was the term we used last night when we were talking, Kate, about like
we said we were overly sensitive.
Yeah. Yeah. Touchy. Really, really touchy. Right.
Any comment feels like a critique. And even if it's not, because we're tired and mm-hmm. we are overly sensitive right now with married couples. I would say, check in on your spouse and in the way of asking for extra patients back and like mutual patients, and then just checking how they're doing, because there's some days where maybe I'm more sensitive than Joel and I just need to tell him, like, it's not you. I am feeling this today. And he knows exactly what I'm going through, and vice versa. And just checking in and saying, like, that hurt my feelings and here's why. And just being really honest, and don't try to protect the other person in that way. Just like, let them know like what you need, because I can't do this without Joel. He can't do it without me. We're doing this together and we both know what we're going through. And so we shouldn't try to do it on an island. So don't do that.
If you were to look down the road a year from now, and you'll be just in the last couple of months of language learning time, and you'll be settled into your new space, and team season will be really gearing up, and so you'll be helping with short-term teams a little more, what would you like to look back at this time and say, I'm really glad that I got those things done before I left?
That's a great question.
Probably I don't know if I've heard a single missionary say, I'm glad I hung on to all that crap back home. Like all my stuff. Like everybody says, every time I come home, I just throw out more things. And so I'm saying to future Joel right now, you're welcome that I threw away all of our stuff or gave it away so that we don't have to worry about it anymore.
All right. So here's what I have to say to that is that future Joel will be more ready to cut some of the ties to that stuff than present Joel may be. And be patient with yourself too, because some things are important to you now, and maybe they won't be 5 years from now. But right now it's okay if you store some stuff and come back and say, oh, well, that was silly. Better than being in Berlin and saying, oh man, I wish I hadn't thrown that away because I could really use it when I get back.
I've been enjoying the goodbyes I've been getting with friends and family. And so I've been grateful to get like quality time with people, and like kind of knowing a lot of people, like family know it's like, this may be the last time, like cousins and stuff like that. Like I'm not going to see my cousins probably, except for when I come back and if I can. Yeah, so that's been really nice.
When we went to MTI before we went to Berlin, they taught us, especially with our kids. And have we done this on a podcast already? The idea of a yay duck and a yuck duck?
I feel like that sounds familiar.
Yeah, I remember this.
Just the kind of idea that there's that life, these times of life are often filled with paradox or a pair of ducks. And so there's times where there's a yay duck, something that's really great, and also something that's really yucky that kind of swim together. And they're just always present, where you can look at the same situation. Like for example, my kids could say, well, it's really great to be able to learn German, but at the same time, it really stinks to not be able to understand what my classmates are saying a lot of the time. And so there's kind of this, this paradox. If you guys were to give like a yay duck, yuck duck for right now, as we bring the podcast to a close, what would that be for you?
I'll go first on that. My yay would be, we are really excited to be able to speak German and no one will know what we're saying when we're at home. But that's not the big yay. We're excited to move and like, we're excited to work with non-corporate worlds where our teammates truly do care about our hearts and like our well-being. Like, we're not there to make money for the shareholders. And so that's like, feels really exciting. And we're really excited about that. And to do that in Europe, that's exciting. I'm ready for it. I'm ready. I feel in my heart ready to go. Maybe not physically yet because of all the house stuff, but like, I feel ready to go. My yuck is that I am still a little, I'm going to miss a lot of people. I'm going to miss my friends and I'm going to miss my family, my mom especially. And so it's like, that's going to be different and that's going to be hard. And I just, also another yuck is I don't know what to expect and I love a plan. And so that's kind of, I won't even know how to read a street sign. So that's going to be fun, but we'll figure it out. I've got you. I'll just call you like, Mike, where am I?
You're gonna have to share your location with me on your phone.
I know. I'd be like, just find me, please.
You know, it's adorable. My mom accidentally did that with me years ago. And so, and she doesn't know, I don't know if she knows it, but I mean, so no matter where I'm at, I can just always kind of look and see where in the world my mom is. And it's just adorable. Like, so if I'm looking up a business somewhere, it'll pull up a map and there's the business. And then there's my mom's face somewhere else in the country. It's always adorable to see. Anyway, what was the question, Mike?
This idea of a paradox or a pair of ducks. Is there for you right now, like a yay duck and a yuck duck?
Coming from this, I think it's like the, man, feeling ready to leave, but so not ready to leave. Is that, would that count? Like, just
kind of. Well, like even like I think you said earlier, Joel, even this idea of you saying, man, I'm finishing murals and it's really great and there's going to be this lightness, but I'm also going to miss these people that I have been making friends with in the jail.
Yeah, totally. That's a huge one. It's just being there is a paradox, whatever. It's
Yep.
And to, you know, yeah, to walk away from some of the most like impactful work that maybe not most impactful, but from what I can tell, the most impactful work that I've done. And to sort of leave that to most likely change. I don't know. It is hard. It's hard to walk away from a lot of stuff that I've enjoyed doing. But it's walking away from that in order to, you know, head out on this mission.
Agreed. It's just, we're excited for what's in store. We're ready, and it just feels like the next step that God has for us. I have no doubt about it. Like, this is what the plan is, and it just feels really good to be doing His will and not fighting against it. And so that feels mm-hmm. really peaceful, I think, for both of us.
Well, thanks for giving us an update. Giving us a chance to check in with you and see how you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, no problem.
I hear so many good comments about the pod.
That's great. Thank you for joining us today on Tracks Cultures. If you enjoyed our conversation and want to dive deeper, we invite you to join our community on Discord. It's a space for sharing experiences, asking questions, and connecting with others who are navigating similar journeys. See the link in our show notes to become part of our growing community. Your support means the world to us. And if you'd like to help us continue our work as a creative community looking for the meeting place of faith, art, and culture, consider becoming a patron. Visit patreon.com/envisionberlin to find out how you can contribute. Until next time, keep embracing change and embodying transformative hope for humanity.